please welcome to the program George Shelley. He is a fellow Vietnam vet, Air Force vet, who wanted to talk about the young Marine Lindsay Starr, who wanted to graduate in her dress blue uniform. George, first of all, welcome to the program. I know you're a little bit nervous. You're not used to this kind of stuff, but welcome. I want to make you feel as comfortable as I can, okay?
Thank you. Good evening.
All right, good evening. First of all, I have to admit to you that when I first read this story about young Lindsay Starr, I was a little upset that she wasn't allowed to graduate in her uniform. I was then pleased to see that one of her recruiting sergeants, a female, had talked to her and said, well, Marines follow the rules, and this is the rule of the school district, and they came to some compromise. And as you know, they don't cover up a Marine uniform or Air Force or Army, anybody else's uniform with another uniform, even if it's a cap and gown. And so she decided to follow the ruse. But to tell you the truth, I commented on this on PCNC, and I thought it was terrible that she was not being allowed to wear her uniform. I saw that she was an early graduate. She had gone into the Marine Corps, had finished all her coursework. And knowing that there are so few young people, I know that you volunteered, and so did I. We
yes.
both ended up in Vietnam, you in the Air Force, and I was in the Army. I know that less than 2% of us bother to serve this country. And I thought, here is a remarkable young lady who wants to do this, and they won't let her do it. But you called me, and you had a totally different tack that I honestly didn't think of about this. And first of all, I think you have to say something about your own service and at least one incident that you saw in Vietnam, if you're willing to talk about it, because I know it's traumatic.
Sure.
So that people can understand where you're coming from. Again, this is George Shelley. He's a fellow Vietnam vet, Air Force. All you vets out there, if you're listening, this is the guy who worked on Puff and Spooky, okay? So he came to your rescue a couple of times. You were a prop mechanic, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, I was.
Okay, you kept Puff flying, and a lot of us on the ground were happy for that. And anybody knows about Puff the Magic Dragon, as we called him in my area, they know what a relief it was to see that. But go ahead.
It was probably 2 days after I was at my base that I was supposed to spend a year in, and that was Nha Trang. The base got mortared. I was walking out on the flight line at the time. Mortar hit in close proximity to where I was at. I turned around to look to see where I needed to go to get away, and literally saw a fellow airman have half his head blown off right in front of me. New guy, I'm a young kid. I'm 19 years old. I'm running toward him. I got to help this guy. Guy grabbed the back of me, grabbed me. Says he started pulling me along. He says, he's dead. He's gone. To this day, that's vivid to me.
Mm.
My concern is, take a 17-year-old girl and do the same thing to it. I realize I'm saying girl, boy. This is a Marine. He's rough and tough. But there's something wrong with the military today that is going to recruit kids. She had to be recruited when she was 16 years old. This is wrong. They somehow talked her into graduating early and not even finishing her normal course of high school.
Well, when she finished it, she just finished it early, according to the article I read in the Trib.
Right, but she had to come back to graduate. That
right.
means she missed she missed part of her life.
That you'll never get again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know where she's going to go. She's going to get trained from now on. And She's going over there.
And given your experience, you think that this is wrong that we're doing to people who are 16, 17 years old, and they're going to end up in the war zone. And old guys like you and I have seen this kind of stuff, and we know. I mean, when they started this war, I said, you're going to take a lot of gregarious young kids, just like we were at the time, and you're going to send them off to the war, and you're going to wonder when they come back without a scratch on them, if they do come back without a scratch on them. What's wrong with my kid? What have they done to my baby? And you wonder, because this same gregarious kid that went off the war comes back and won't say two words, you know?
Yeah, they'll go into shell.
Yeah.
It's something that I feel very strongly about. And we all know this went into a media frenzy, and even the politicians, they called her a hero and stuff. Most of the people that said all this, they didn't see what we saw. They didn't. They've never been there. They, in a perfect world, they went and visited. They went on a junket, this, that, the other thing, but they have no idea.
And so, since I have been on the air, I have railed against these kinds of things that we do to our young people. I've interviewed people like Linda Bilmes, who, along with Joseph Stiglitz, the Harvard economist, has done an extrapolation of what this is going to cost us. And he says by the time we treat these young people who get to be your and my age in years to come, we will spend $3 trillion on treating them, whether they have traumatic brain injury, lost a limb, or came back without a scar on them physically, and they've been treated for post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yeah, PTSD.
Yeah. It's, you know, we're making a whole new generation of sullen young people that might not be able to work. But you and I managed to do this. We managed to make it.
Yes.
You've been married.
Yep.
40 years.
Yes, more than 40.
Years. I've been married 37. We came home. We did the right thing. We raised our families. We've done. What makes you so sure that this might happen to her and that we're doing this to our young people, I guess?
What comes to mind is World War II and what we've read about the other countries that were involved in the war. And even some of our youth. That lied about their age to sign up and all this. It's just, to me, it's just wrong. But, you know, make it 18 years old. You know, they say, okay, don't let them go this early. I don't care whether their parents let them do it or not. I do not agree with it. And I, again, as I said, I just feel very strongly about this. And I'm pretty sure that most of the people of our era that have been to Vietnam, who have been in the mud, who have gotten shot at and not been able to shoot back, being an aircraft mechanic, watching holes and getting put in the side of the plane beside you.
And having to fix them every night.
you know, it's just the fact that, this needs to change. And even if it's just me talking about it on the radio and somebody saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to advise a young person, live a little bit of your life first before you become under the thumb of the military. Because when you're in there, you're locked in.
All right. We're going to take a break now. But in particular, all my fellow vets, our fellow vets, I'd ask them to give us a call and what do they think about taking people in as young as 16 in the Marine Corps or any branch of the service. Is it too early? Are they missing part of their lives? You got two vets here talking about it. George, who believes strongly that it's too early to go into the military. 1-866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkradio.com. Hold on. We'll be right back.
It's the Moore of Pittsburgh, the Chris Moore Show, News Radio 1020, KDKA.
KDKA Radio News Time 720. Fellow Vietnam vet George Shelley is here with us. Let's go to the phones right now. And Scott, who's traveling down Route 70 in his car. Scott, you're on KDKA with George Shelley.
Hey, how you doing? I think the whole thing's a publicity stunt. For the Marines, I mean, things atrocious that the recruiter would actually recruit a 15 or 16 year old, and the parents would go along with it. Everybody in my family's been in the military. My grandfather was in World War I. My father was in World War II. My brother was in Vietnam. I was in the Navy myself, and you know, people think it's a game. And I think that do you think that all the video games out now glamorizing war, like the modern warfare and all this stuff, kids really don't have an idea of what it's really like? They're desensitized to things that would happen during war.
Well, I can tell you I do, and I know that the Army is using video games to recruit now.
Yeah, you know, I took my son, who's 10 years old, I took him to Comic-Con in Philadelphia over the last weekend, and the U.S. Army had a giant screen TV letting people play modern warfare at the Comic-Con to recruit people into the Army Reserve.
Yeah, they have a thing up there, set up in Philly where it's almost like sitting in a door gunner and you're shooting out at the video screen and they even blow the wind on you to make it feel like and give you the paka-paka sound.
But But, you know, I was working with a guy recently who joined the Army, and he was telling me how, you know, he says, oh, I can't wait. I want to go to war. I want to go over there, and I want to start shooting people. And I'm like, do you even realize what it's like to be shot back at?
It ain't fun when the rabbit got a gun.
Are you insane? I mean, that's just the craziest thing I ever heard. And I think that's what they put in people's head, that it's a fun thing to do.
Well, when you talked about the video game stuff, the fact of the matter is, it appears to me that you got gamers sitting somewhere in Virginia or whatever, right, looking at a video screen of a drone in the middle of Baghdad or wherever it may be. And well, watch this. I can blow this guy away. Yeah, they're so remote from it that it's a game. That's wrong.
I think they're in Colorado. That's where they're controlling them from. But you're right. And they're capitalizing on kids' ability to play these games, but they're far removed from it. It's on a screen. They don't realize they're really killing human beings.
Well, I think, and they don't realize that, but also they don't realize that, like you said, to see someone killed in front of you, mm-hmm. to have a friend killed, or to just, you know, the reality of, you know, hey, we're outgunned. We've been ambushed. I mean, the reality of that, most of these guys would crap their pants and you know, like I say, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole, and I truly believe that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Anything you want to add to that, Joe?
Not really. Okay. It's just the fact that, back to the gamer thing. Yeah. They think that's great.
Ain't no fun when the rabbit got a gun. Janine in Homewood, you're on KDK with George Shelley.
Hi, how are you?
All right,
hi,
you?
Janine.
I'm fine. I'm 47 years old. I did 17 years in the military myself. I did 17 years, 10 years Navy, and 7 years Army. This thing with this young lady here, it may be possible that she's not saying all and the recruiters aren't coming saying all. But when I joined in 1981, I actually joined in 1980, and I was 17 years old. I joined what they called the Delayed Entry Program. And at the time, the Marines and the Navy were the only ones that had that program. I had the option of, while I was still in high school, which I was in the 11th grade, that I could go to boot camp during the 8 weeks of being off on summer vacation.
I think that's what Lindsay Starr
but
did.
I could not go in officially, wear a uniform, say I was in, and I'm Marine, I'm Navy, whatever, until I was 18 years old.
Hmm.
I could not leave until I was 18. And I left when I graduated from Shenley High School in 1981. I got sworn in, mind you, one time in 1980 when my mom first signed the papers. And when I turned 18 years old in 1981, I left December 1st of 1981, and I was once again sworn in. And I went to boot camp. Now, I think that this young lady may be under that same program and just not, you know, coming out to wire with it.
Well, hello? You might be right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
There is a program. There's a delay. It's called the Delayed Entry Program.
As much as it was brought out with this, you'd think that might have been at forefront.
You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't.
And the more that I listened to it, and I have listened to it, I experienced it. You know, I did, and they will. I don't know if they probably still do have the program. But the only ones that had the program was the Marine and Navy. And I actually went in at 17 years old. But I was not officially. I got sworn
in. But did Janine, do you think it benefited you, or was it the wrong thing to do?
Oh, no. Back then, it was beautiful. I learned so much. I've learned to maturity on my own. But see, when I hear you guys talk about the guns and so forth and how they're so gung-ho happy, my whole thing to that right now is there should not be a murder row. There shouldn't be a murder row in no prison at all. Our soldiers should not be going to Afghanistan to fight nobody. put an M16 in their hand, put them up in a helo, drop them off, and tell them you got a year. If you come out alive,
we'll let you go.
And if you don't, sorry, see ya. We'll bury you.
All right, thank you.
And then they'll realize what the gun thing is. You know, they don't know until they hit the military. Half of them need to go to the military.
All right, thank you, Janine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. 1-866-391-1020 is the number. I'm Chris Moore with George Shelley on KDKA. We're debating whether it's wise to get young people involved at an early age in the military. It ain't no fun when the rabbit got a gun.
Got issues? Talk to Chris.
The Chris Moore Show.
Chris Moore, News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Fellow Vietnam veteran George Shelley is here. George, just in case people are joining us and didn't hear the first part of the program, could you again relate your experience in Vietnam and why you are upset that young people as young as 16 may be joining the military?
As Chris said, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was in Vietnam 69 to 70, a place called Nha Trang. Second day I was at that base, I watched a fellow airman, a guy I didn't even know, we got mortared, and I watched him get half his head blowed off in front of me. I went to run toward him, and another airman grabbed me from behind and says, let him go. He's dead. He's gone. I have to admit, to this day, whenever I think of that, I can see it like it's right in front of me. Mm. I don't think that young people today should be exposed to that. Now, I was 19, going on 20, but to recruit kids today at and this particular person we're speaking of, she was obviously recruited at the age of 16, because at 17 she was done with boot camp.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Lindsay Starr, the young lady from Wexford, wanted to march in her graduation in her dress blues.
Correct. And she had come home on leave after her boot camp, obviously, or at least that's the understanding I have, to be able to do that.
And this program resulted because George called me, because I admit, as I said in the first part, I was proud of this young lady. I was saying, here's somebody who wants to give their service to the United States. And I had that tack until you pointed out these kids have no idea what they're about to get into. And we should at least let them mature a little bit before they get into the military and people are shooting at them, trying to kill them.
Yeah. Once you sign those papers, once you've been through boot camp, once you've been trained, you're locked in.
All right, you ready to take some more calls?
Sure, yes.
All right, let's go to Ed in the Hill. Ed, you're on KDK.
Yes, good evening to you and your guests.
Hi.
Hello, Ed.
To Lindsay Starr, I was one of those who said that I didn't even believe she had gone through basic training because of her attitude. That was completely different from the culture of the U.S. military, the spirit of the U.S. military, to run to the media if you can't get your way. But I agree with you that one of the things that did strike me when she said she was 17, I'm saying to myself, I can't imagine why in the heck our government would take anyone under the age of 18. Now, I know that from the Second World War, a lot of guys who went in, like Nate Smith, the late Nate Smith, he was about, 15 or something like that, 14 or 15? And a lot of guys lied about their age. But in today's world, it seems to me, where we actually have records of how old people are, you should not, it should be illegal to be part of the U.S. military until you're 18 years of age. So I agree with you on that. But I was so glad when the Marine major finally called in and straightened this girl out. Yeah, legally she could do it, but darn it, in the U.S. military, you learn to take orders before you start pushing, you know, your weight around. And she's E1, E2.
I can't say that she was pushing her weight around. The article I read in the Trib said she was just proud of her uniform, and it was a recruiting sergeant that told her that the Marines follow the rules, and that if the rules of the school district are that you cannot wear anything but your cap and gown, then that's what she should do. And she said, okay, I understand that, and agreed to that.
Well, I call it pushing your weight around when you go to the media because you have the school board and you have a disagreement. And I kind of resented that attitude more than anything else from a person in the U.S. military. But at the same time, I wonder, as I do with all these situations, because we never hear from the fathers, I'm just wondering what her father had to say about that.
I don't know.
Yeah. So anyhow, I was glad. Well, actually, I don't know, Chris, I don't know if you heard this, but Marty mentioned on the news that a major from the U.S. Marines called in. Evidently, he was a person of some stature in the hierarchy, and called in and told her that, no, you follow orders, even though
all,
the law.
All I read was what was in the trib, and it was a recruiting sergeant, a female recruiting sergeant. Yeah. I don't know what Marty said, okay?
There was an interesting, very small twist to the end of that. The ruling was that she, in the end, was supposed to be able to wear a uniform. It was sort of misconstrued in the fact that why people are allowed to wear their uniforms, they made it law that the recruiters would be able to wear their uniforms when they go into the schools. And that was the reason
why they
twisted it a little bit, that this girl should be able to wear her uniform. Mm.
Right. That was the law that would have had allowed her. But I was upset because of her attitude, and from my standpoint, because I was in the Air Force from 56 to 60, and the Air Force at that time was the least of the
military. That was a good time to be in the Air Force.
Yeah, right. But even in the Air Force at that time, our 13 weeks of basic training was real military training. Mm-hmm. But once you got through that, it was just like having a civilian job.
Yeah, you bus driver uniform guys.
Right, right. That's all we were. But that was cool with me.
I'm just teasing Air Force men.
I didn't want to be John Wayne.
Okay, I understand.
Even John Wayne was not me, though, because he never served, and I did.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ed. Let's continue. We'll go to Mike in Edgewood. Mike, you're on KDK.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I salute you both for your service. I was
whipping
one of those
right,
bus drivers.
Thank you.
Whipping it right back on you, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, I was one of those bus drivers, by the way.
Okay, just teasing.
And, I recently dealt with a lot of recruits and recruiters. The late entry program is still in effect, mostly for Army, Army Reserve, Army Guard. They still have the late entry, and it's similar with the ROTC. And I've seen in some cases where it's actually been what I consider good, because they do have a little bit of military background, a little bit of training. So when they do go, maybe they have just a little bit of a step ahead of everybody else, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have to sacrifice a little bit of their youth and their time. And the Marine and the Army, Navy and the Air Force in particular, sometimes the jobs that the recruiters get, they have to sign up 6 months to a year in advance just to make sure that they get the job that they want. Particular Navy and Air Force, because certain jobs are so hard to come by. So some kids will do that just to make sure that they get the particular job that they want. And more than anything else, I think it's our economy, men. It's really got, like Chris says, the 2%, maybe even less, that are serving, and they're so patriotic. Many, many times I hear, I need this job. I need it for the pay, and I need it for the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the economy is what's driving a lot of this, and unfortunately, it's that 1% that's really doing it all. And I think maybe if we brought back the draft, maybe that would solve a lot of these problems. You know what I mean?
Well, Mike, if you and George and I can get on the draft board so we can go to Washington and some other places and draft some senators and representatives' sons and daughters, then I think that'll be all right with me.
Well, there's some young ones. We might be able to even get a senator.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very cute. Yeah.
You rascal,
Chris,
you.
Chris, he has some good zip codes, some good addresses that we want to get a hold of.
That's so, right.
Let's salute this 1% or 2% that's doing it all, and if it was spread around, if the pain was spread, maybe we'd see things a little differently.
I think you're right. Thank you. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we'll continue. We'll go to Bill in Washington, PA. Bill, you're on KDKA with George Shelley.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
Good evening.
Okay, the reason why I'm calling is I'm an ex-Marine. I was in Vietnam like you guys, 69 to 72.
We salute you for your service, sir.
Well,
same.
I did the best I could, just like you guys did.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I'm calling is that I'm disappointed that you don't have her on there. Maybe her motivation, and obviously neither of you are Marines, but they make it very clear, they make it very clear how difficult it is to go into combat, and the secret is to survive. And
I think everybody, you don't have to be a Marine to know that, Bill.
At what age did you join?
I didn't join. I was drafted into the Marine Corps in 1969.
At what age?
I was 19.
That's
3 years older than she is.
Yeah.
I understand that. And I do not know what her motivation was, but I do know that as she's gone through the training, she's aware of what's in front of her. And I just, as the lady said before, until she's 18, she's not legally or technically a Marine.
You're saying they don't own her?
She's sworn in when she's 18. And I'm just saying I commend her. I have no idea what her motivation was, but I do know if she went through basic training, she's perfectly aware what the heck is involved with the whole situation.
I wonder if you might be able to clear one other question up for me, being familiar with the Marines. Boot camp is continual, is it not? Meaning after one group goes through, the next group is right there, or there are several groups going through at the same time. It isn't like once a year or anything. So this girl could have went 6 months later, a year later, a year and a half later, correct?
I am not sure. You're the one that said she went through boot camp.
Well, she did.
Yeah, she did.
Okay. So whenever she went through it, they make it perfect.
But you're not. You said that before. We understand that. You're not answering this question. What was the question, right?
Boot camp is continual, is it not?
Once you go through boot camp, you will go through continual training.
Bill, you're not answering the question.
Can I go to start boot camp in January, February, March, April, May? Okay, there's at least one group going through every month. Are they not?
They are continually starting different groups.
That was the point. Thank you. You
but
finally answered the question.
Meaning that once you start, you don't.
So the point is, she didn't have to go in when she was 16. And why should we do that to our young people is the question.
No.
16, now let me ask you this. Do you think 16 is too early to join the military?
That depends on the person.
Okay.
I've met 16-year-olds that were more mature than 22-year-olds, and I've met 22-year-olds that weren't as mature as 15.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. We appreciate it, and we salute you for your service.
Thank you.
We're talking with George Shelley, a fellow Vietnam vet, who is talking about how young people are recruited into the armed services, and we wonder what you think. 1-866-391-1020. We'll get to open talk in the remaining hour of our program. Let's go to the phones. In Mount Washington, Ted, you're on KDK.
What's going on, guys? Salute you for your service.
And right back
Thank
on you.
You,
sir.
Same to you.
Hey, real quick, the Air Force, you got the best chow. The Marines are first to go, last to know. And, you know, that's why that other caller, believe me, he's a jarhead. Okay? They're first to go, last to know. So I know
them. Stop it.
No insults.
Yeah, no insults. Come on.
First to go.
Big off of P-38, man.
I can't do without my P-38, man.
All right. But
by the way, for those that don't know, that is a can opener, bottle opener.
A little bitty one, but indispensable.
Hey, it saved my life, man. Saved my life. Hey, but real quick, I agree with both of y'all guys. It's a backdoor draft. That's what it is. There's no way in hell a 16-year-old should be pressured in joining. And, you know, you're seeing it. It's a slick marketing scheme by the armed forces. And, you know, it's like setting up a recruiting office in high school. These kids are still developing. They haven't made up their mind. Hell, when I went in, I was wavering. I was wondering, what in the hell was I getting myself into? okay?
especially when you had to put your hand up.
Exactly. And I made a comment, hey, this would be great. It'll be like Cub Scouts. Okay. I regret making that comment, but I went on a buddy system, and that's exactly what I said when I went to the federal building. And all and behold, the Gulf War popped up, and I was in straight denial. This can't happen, you know? Okay. So a 60-year-old has no business, absolutely no business wearing a uniform.
But she said she wanted to join. She's proud to be a Marine.
Oh, hey, look, it's great, but you're 16, okay? Mm. You're not there until you there.
Well, in actuality, she's 17 now.
Okay.
But they had to recruit her when she was 16 to get to this part.
Of course, and that's a shame. And that school board should really look at what's going on. It really should question that, you know, the recruiter's policy. Mm. They should. Every district should, because that's outrageous. Serving your country is great, but, you know, at 16, there's no way. I remember seeing old black and white films of the Nazi youth camp, okay, when they recruited little kids, right? And I hate to say, and I hate to use those words, but that's what it looks like. Yeah. They had their uniforms on, and they didn't have a smile and everything. That's not normal. You're being indoctrinated.
Yeah.
And at 16, there's no way you're mentally ready. And I mean, I would, like I said, when I went in, I was 19, okay? I was leaving.
Yeah. And you weren't ready either. Yeah.
No, neither was I.
No, I was wavering, man. That's how I learned my foreign policy, you know? You learn about foreign policy when you're over there.
Yeah.
You know, but at 16, there's no way. And it is a problem. And I was offended when she wore that uniform, because it has no business in a high school picture. Absolutely no business. You know, so if you want to join, that's great. But you wait until you get your high school degree.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're going to get some more people in here real quick. George and Moon, you're on KDK.
Yeah. Hey, Chris. Long time no talk.
Well, I'm glad you called tonight.
Yes, Air Force, 1963-64, Vietnam, Thompson.
I salute you for your service, sir.
Salute you.
Yeah, you've done that before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've talked. I agree wholeheartedly, especially your last couple callers here. George, I agree with you. But I think what this is our political leaders and our military leaders further extending militarism in the society by using these nefarious means to recruit young, impressionable people to use their idealism, to use their naivete, to use their pride and independence and everything for military means, and they're just not prepared and informed. And I thought, I was astounded to hear you say that this has taken place today, because I know in years past there were countless scandals under the draft in which the same thing was taking place, where they were getting 15 and 16 and 17-year-olds. And I thought the law had been straightened up, but apparently it hasn't. And George, I'm astounded. It should be stopped. It should be stopped.
Well, it's my understanding that there are laws today that actually they say and they allow the recruiters to go into the schools. I don't know how young people they're allowed to solicit, but it's obvious that in this case it was at least a 16-year-old. Where will they go next? To maybe to our grade schools?
Let me just give you an example of this militarization, is what I call it, into the society. We had a local thing out here in Moon Township where a school board member wanted to get elected, and he wanted to bring ROTC in the high school. And I fought it vigorously, because for the same reason, that these kids are too young and impressionable to be faced with an issue of life and death and all the ramifications thereof of choosing the military at that age. And he said it was good for character building and marksmanship. And I... And I had, you know, the verbal battles with him in public that, you know, you can learn marksmanship elsewhere. Yeah. You can learn
go hunt deer
character elsewhere, too, than to have.
They don't shoot back.
Yeah,
you don't need militarization in a high school, and it's not fair to the kids. If we're going to have a professional volunteer military, we need professional, well-informed, mature service members, for God's sake.
I agree with you.
All right. Yep. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
All right. We got about a minute and a half left, and I'd give it to you because I know you wish this young woman, Lindsay Starr, well, right?
Yes. I mean her no ill will. I hope that they keep her in the United States. There's a certain amount of recruits in all the service branches that I know that they stay stateside. I hope they all stay stateside.
Some people might say you're being naive and we need to go to these countries and defeat terrorism and all of that.
Well, you talk to most of these people that have gotten out recently, and I know a few that have, and they say after the third rotation in, it is very, very tense.
I can imagine. My nephew's done 2 tours in Iraq already, and he's still in his 20s, so I know exactly what you mean. Well, George Shelley, I want to thank you for bringing this up and for coming on and talking about it.
Thank you for letting me be on.
I have to admit it was an angle that I did not think of on this story before, and I'm glad to have this spotlight to show it on your opinion about this and our young people who so bravely serve in the military and just when is old enough. Thank you again, and I salute you. As a fellow Vietnam vet, you know a salute is a sign of respect.
Salute you.
All right, so I'm whipping it on you, sir. Thank you very much for being here.
Take care, my friend. Any last words? Take care.
All right. Thank you. You take care, too. God bless.